find ourselves on the third Sunday of Easter, which is to say, we've only just begun. Even though Lent feels like a distant memory, at least for me, we're not even a third of the way through this 50-day season of resurrection. Easter is 50 days long because the resurrection of Jesus is such a reality-altering event that it deserves 50 days of celebration, 50 days of alleluias. And it's 50 days long because such a reality-altering event needs 50 days to even begin to unpack what it means for us. This is true for the disciples. We don't know exactly when this morning's gospel takes place. It could be a few days after the resurrection, or a few weeks, or even a few months. And they're gathered by the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. And here, we find them doing the very thing they were doing before Jesus even called them, fishing. It's almost as if the whole gospel never happened. Maybe it's been long enough that they're starting to question whether any of these things really happened. Or maybe, in the wake of the resurrection, this abrupt disruption to the very fabric of reality, they find themselves at a total loss. They don't yet know what resurrection means, or what they should do, or even how to go about figuring out what to do. So they go back to what they know, to what they have always done. They go out into the boat and try to catch some fish. In our reading from Acts this morning, we hear about another reality-altering event, albeit a more personal one, in the life of Saul of Tarsus. At this moment in history, there's not yet been a formal split between Jews and Christians. In fact, neither of those words actually existed yet. Saul is a devout worshiper of the one God, and he is deeply concerned about his fellow Israelites who have joined the movement of Jesus followers. He thinks that they have been led astray, endangering themselves and anybody else who might follow. And that is why he is persecuting his fellow Israelites who have begun to follow Jesus. Saul is actually trying to do good, but getting it so very wrong. And then comes this reality-altering event. The light that flashes, falling to the ground, Jesus speaking from the heavens to say that in persecuting his followers, Saul is persecuting Jesus himself. And when Saul is able to rise, he finds himself unable to see or to eat or to drink. When we humans are confronted with something potentially reality-altering, something that throws into question everything we know, and that threatens the very ground we stand on, it is so overwhelming that we often find ourselves lost, knocked senseless. Sometimes we are tempted to deny it, to bury our heads, and continue on as though nothing has changed. This is the story of Galileo. The idea that the earth was not the center of the universe was so threatening that the church placed him under house arrest for the rest of his life. It's the story of Darwin. The theory of evolution was so threatening that parts of the church, even our own Anglican tradition, denounced it. What I love about Saul is that even after it knocks him senseless and leaves him helpless, he has the courage to face this reality-altering event. He has the courage to change his mind and his heart and his whole life, devoting it to following Jesus and sharing the gospel, especially with the Gentiles, the ones that others would exclude. As Christians, reality-altering events, specifically the incarnation and the resurrection, are at the very core of our faith. It is defined by events that change everything. And our sacred stories are full of people who faced reality-altering events, some of them good and others tragic. The liberation from Egypt, the exile, the destruction of the temple. All of this teaches me two things. First, that we can expect to encounter things that will completely alter our reality. This has certainly been true for me. It was true when I began to learn about the pervasiveness and depth of racism, how embedded it is on our nation's history, and how profoundly it shapes the present moment, including my own life, everything from the opportunities I've been given to the balance of my bank account. And it has been true more recently as I've begun to grapple with the realities of climate change, with the ways that my lifestyle contributes to it, and the profound ecological changes that are coming. We can expect in this life, and especially in this life with God, to encounter things that will completely alter our reality. And we can expect, like Peter and like Saul, to be disoriented. We can expect that, at least at the beginning, we won't handle it well. Saul's reality-altering encounter with Jesus leaves him temporarily blind. That's not a failure on Saul's part or a punishment. It's part of the process. And Jesus does not get angry at Peter for going fishing. God expects us to be human because, you know, we are. God knows and expects that reality-altering events, even really good ones, will take some time to adjust to and probably even knock us a little senseless or leave us a little helpless for a while. We won't get all the way there right away, or maybe even for a long time. In the midst of it, God is willing to meet us where we're at. God sends Ananias to Saul in his distress to lay hands on him and to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, resurrected, appears to the disciples again and again and again. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Not once, but three times. Saul and Peter will both go on to do great things, but not right away. It takes time. The second thing is this. As we face these reality-altering, ground-shaking things, we can know, even in the midst of those most difficult moments, that we have a future. Even when it seems like we don't, even when everything must change, even when we can't begin to imagine what it looks like, and even when we can't live all the way into it yet, that is the witness and the wisdom of our scriptures. In today's collect, we ask that God open the eyes of our faith so that we can see. May we see and also keep looking. May God also give us the strength and courage to face those realities that threaten to upend everything, rather than rejecting or denying or avoiding them. It will take time to see fully, and feeling like we have to have it all figured out right away can keep us from doing anything at all. Instead, we can embrace or at least accept the murkiness and uncertainty and start small. Peter and Saul both start by having something to eat. And then Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my sheep. Take this one concrete first step. I will be with you, and we'll take it from there." That is how we walk with God into the future that God is creating for us.